Thank you. You may be seated. We continue today in the second message, the series Living by Faith. Today we'll talk about Enoch, a character in the Bible. Not a lot is said by him, but he was a great, great man of God who gives us a tremendous illustration of how we walk by faith. In Hebrews 11, there's four features of faith as you look at the first few verses of that chapter. In verse 1, we see that God tells us that faith gives a present reality to a future fact. He says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith gives a present reality to a future event or fact. Verse 2 tells us that faith furnishes enough conviction to bank our lives. Talks about their ancestors who were commended for their faith and accomplished much through their faith. Verse 3, we see that faith secures the blessing and approval of God. It tells us that we understand there that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what we see was not made out of what was visible. And then the verse we talked about last week, verse 4, faith enables us to understand why so many philosophers and so many scientists of the world cannot understand and perceive the things that are not open to their senses. Science looks at facts in their minds, at tangibles, what they can see and touch. And God talks about faith. We come to God by faith. We approach God by faith, not by any other way than but by faith. And last week we saw Abel's worship of faith. God never intended works as a way to himself. And really, I tell you, that's fortunate to us. Aren't you glad that God didn't expect a certain level of activity, a level of work, level of expertise? All of us are on the same page. All of us come to God on the same way, by faith. Believing him, trusting him. It's not about who, all the things that we have, all the things that we do. The issue from the salvation that resulted when sacrifice of sin was made, we come by faith. So a life of faith begins on the basis of a proper sacrifice. That proper sacrifice is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And we cannot walk with God, when we talk about walking by faith, we cannot walk with God on our own terms. We cannot tell God, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it, here's how I'm going to walk with you. We cannot do that. There first must be a death for sin, and then we can walk with God. And that death for our sins was performed by Jesus Christ. So Enoch is a great illustration, a great example of walking by faith. The story about him, we read a little bit here, much more a summary and a commentary here in Hebrews 11. The real story of his life is found in four basic verses in chapter 5 of Genesis, where we see twice in that little short passage, it says that Enoch walked with God. And his faith, I think, included everything that constituted Abel's faith. He worshiped, and worship, proper worship, always leads to or results in walking with God. And Enoch did that which Abel did, plus he walked with God, indicating to us that you have to worship God before you can walk with God. You see the order of the events. Abel represents worship. Everything starts with worship. And when we worship, then that results and leads to walking with God. So how do you walk by faith? When we think of this concept, we talk about walking by faith. How do you do that? Well, I think the passage of Scripture here, these verses, help us understand how to walk by faith. If there's anything I want to do, is to walk by faith in my Savior. And Enoch is a great example for us. Number one, how do we walk in faith? Believe that God exists. Believe in God. Believe that God is who he says he is. There's a basis of pleasing God. How do we please God? talks to us here that says, Enoch pleased God. How do we do that? Well, let's think about, first of all, what does not please God? Religion, orthodox, cold, legalistic religion does not please God. Nationality, what nation, what race you may represent doesn't in itself please God. Works righteousness, we cannot work our way to God. That does not please God. What does please God? It says very simply here, faith pleases God. By faith, Enoch was taken before God from this life. Verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we can't work our way to God. We've got to come through faith in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, trusting him, believing him, accepting him as our Savior. Enoch pleased God. It tells us back there in Genesis chapter 5 that one day he took a walk with God and he never came back. He walked right into heaven with God. No funeral, no memorial services, no cremation, because no death. Enoch walked into heaven. And he's a great illustration for us this morning that if you please God and you walk with him, you'll escape death. Maybe not physical death in this world, but you'll escape spiritual and eternal death. You'll walk right into heaven with God. Now, how does faith begin? The basis is by faith. How do we walk with God? We must do it by faith. How does faith begin? Well, God gives us enlightenment regarding his existence. Faith says here, faith begins, he tells us here in Hebrews, believe that he exists. Believe that God is who he says he is. And you and I can only know God by faith, not by sight. We cannot see God. In fact, Jesus said in John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, Jesus, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus said in John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In Job 38, verses 2 to 6 that Lisa read a few moments ago, God said, where were you when I made the earth? Who is this that darkens my counsel and my words without knowledge? Who marks off its dimensions? What were its footings set? Who laid its cornerstone? He says, where were you when I made the world? God gives us evidence or enlightenment regarding his existence. But we really don't have a lot of evidence, physical evidence, tangible evidence of seeing who God is. Can't get it from science. Science can't prove his existence. There's all kinds of significant scientific indicators. They would tell you that doesn't prove in God. And we can think about it. We can reason it out. The evolutionists and the atheists attack it. But really, God has made us. And when we understand who God is, we understand how God works, the scriptures teach us that he has made us in a certain way. He's wired us in such a way that he's planted within us what I might call a God consciousness. Romans 1, 18 to 20, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Try to tell us that God doesn't exist. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. What's Paul saying? He's saying God's existence is plain to us by his creation. Everywhere you look around you, it speaks of God. It's not God, but it speaks of a creator who made all of this. And God says it's very plain to us. And all of this teaches us of God's invisible qualities, his divine nature. It's all been clearly seen. Why? It's understood by what he has made, so that man is without excuse. We cannot explain God away. When we look at this beautiful creation he has made, it tells us there is a God. And so we start by walking by faith. We've got to believe that God exists. That the God who identifies himself, who tells us who he is, we believe that he is who he says he is. Secondly, we must, if we're going to walk by faith, we must seek God's reward, or quite simply, seek God. Seek God. Walking by faith requires the belief that God is a rewarder. God is good. God's not up in heaven looking for us to mess up so he can pour his wrath or his anger down upon us. God is a good God. And so we come to him. We must believe that he is a moral God who rewards those who come to him. So you believe in him, then you come up another level to seek him. A lot of people believe in God, but that doesn't mean that they seek God. We can know him, you see, if we search for him. He tells us in 1 Chronicles 28:9, if you seek him, he will be found by you. Psalm 119, verse 10, the psalmist said, I seek you with all my heart. Every fiber of my being, the psalmist says, Lord, I'm searching for you. Proverbs 8, 17, he says, those who seek me, find me. It's possible to know God. It's possible to have a relationship with God. That's what he's telling us. Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So if I'm going to walk by faith, the way God wants me to walk, I must first of all believe that God exists. Then secondly, I must seek God. And you will find him, I will find him, if we seek for him. John 6, 37, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never, never drive away. He will accept and embrace. So walking by faith requires that we seek him, and a belief that God is a rewarder. And so it also requires that we come on his terms. We cannot come to God the way we want. We cannot tell God, this is how I'm going to operate with you. We must come on God's terms. Here's what Jesus said. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. Any man that comes to the Father, no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus gives us the terms. He gives us the requirements. If we're going to come to God, we must come through Jesus Christ. Acts 4, 12, something similar. It says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name, meaning Jesus, under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So God tells us, if you want to know me, seek me. Don't just go through life on your own, doing your own thing. He says, believe that I am who I say I am, and then seek me. You can have, God wants to have a relationship with us, and God says, you can have a relationship with me, but we must come through Jesus. There is no other way. And Enoch made God his priority. Thirdly, not only must we believe in God, then we must seek God. And then when we seek God, then we must decide to walk, not just how we want, but walk with God. Walk with God. And here it says in Genesis 5, page 8, if you want to look at this. But Genesis 5, verses 22 to 24, it says, after he, speaking of Enoch, became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, he lived 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. And I know in old Bible times, people lived a whole lot, many more years, and there's some good explanations for that. And we don't have time to get into that today, but people did live many, many more years back in the early stages after the creation. Enoch lived 365 years. And all through the scriptures, as you see God's attitude towards us, God wants us to walk with Him. God doesn't want us living some independent life out there doing our own thing or struggling, trying to do what we think is right. He wants us to walk with Him. And that word walk in the scripture means daily conduct, daily living, daily behavior. God wants us to walk every moment, every day with Him. As I look at the Bible, I see that walking, I think, with God requires five things. One, it requires reconciliation. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? Romans 5:10 says that we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. So to walk with God, we've got to be reconciled to Him. Saving faith, trust in Him as our Savior, and we've committed our lives to Him. And Paul says that you don't live your old way. You come out from the old life in Ephesians 4, and you didn't know Christ that way when you're on your own. You follow Him and you serve Him. First of all, reconciliation. Secondly, a corresponding nature. In other words, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So if we're going to walk with God, we've got to be reconciled to Him. He's got to be our Savior. We've got to realize we are new creatures. We don't have to live like we used to live. We don't have to go the way we used to go. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. And then he says we must have, the scriptures say we must have a moral fitness. 1 Peter tells us that we should be holy because He is holy. So God walks only in the way of holiness. So if we're going to walk with Him, we've got to realize God keeps no company with unholiness. It says in Habakkuk 1:13, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So we get reconciled to Him. We have a relationship with Him. We are new creatures. We don't have to live like we used to. We have a moral fitness. God gives us an outline of how to walk with Him. And then, very importantly, there must be a surrendered will. God calls us to come. He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says in Revelation 22, verse 17, at least three times, come. He tells us to come to Him. Isaiah 1:18, He says, come and let us reason together. God forces Himself on no one. God's a gentleman. But when we do come to Him, He demands that we surrender to Him. We come to God on God's terms. 2 John 1:6, He tells us that we are to walk in obedience to His commands. That's what God wants. And so we must surrender our will to His will. We must get on, not on our page, but on His page. And the fifth thing is spiritual fellowship. I think it's interesting here that Enoch had a steady, unbroken communion with God. It says for 300 years, he walked with God. A 300-year walk that took him right into heaven. You see, walking by faith, like Enoch walked, is to walk with God, indicating a steady communion and a spiritual growth and a spiritual progress. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit lives within us, then God is telling us, let's keep in step. Let's go with where the Spirit is going. 1 John 2:6 says, let's walk as Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we're to walk with Him. As He leads, as He guides, as He goes, we go with Him. Now, there's several things that I notice about this fellowship. As I look at Enoch's life back there in Genesis 5, there is a commencement. It says, after he became the father of Methuselah. he walked with God. It appears in the scriptures that something happened to Enoch when after he became the father of Methuselah, something happened. Evidently, he had a spiritual awakening. After that, evidently, he lived 65 years not walking with God, but the next 300 years he walked with God. So something happened in his life. He must have had a spiritual awakening. Now, what was it? Well, you study Methuselah's name. The meaning of Methuselah, it means when it shoots forth, or more specifically, when he is dead, it shall be sent. In other words, and historians and commentators, all credible ones, all agree that Methuselah died in the year that the flood started. So evidently, God chose Methuselah's name and gave a message to Enoch in this dark world in which he was living that you're going to name him Methuselah because he's going to live so long, and when he dies, I'm going to send judgment through a worldwide flood upon this world. Enoch must have been so shaken when God gave him that name that he became faithful for the next 300 years. Now, when you look at the scripture's descriptions of that world in which Enoch lived, it was a terrible, wicked world. It wasn't easy to continue living for God, walking with God in such a wicked world. How did it all culminate? Here was a man that had a spiritual awakening, walked with God. Ultimately, it culminated that he did not die. God took him right on into heaven. Man that walked with God so fervently, so feverishly, so intimately, so strongly and loyally that God said, "All right, Enoch, we've been walking for a while. I love to walk. I'm going to have you walk right into heaven with me. Never going to have you die." Walk with God. Then you take it up to another level. After you believe in God, after you then seek God, you walk with him, and there's some characteristic about that walk. You proclaim truth for God. We see in Enoch's life another passage that talks to us about it. Jude, only one chapter, verses 14 and 15, page 1910 in your pew Bible. It says there something very significant. It tells you about this man, how he lived his life, how he walked with God. It says, "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, wicked men of the society. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And basically, as we go through this life, God wants us to make a difference. God wants us to live in a way that exalts and magnifies and glorifies the name of Jesus. So we need to warn, as Enoch did, of coming judgment. He lived in the midst of a polluted society. When you read in Genesis, it says that there was evil continually in that world that Enoch lived in. So much so to the point in Genesis 6, it says that God regretted that he made man. God regretted that he made man. And so here was this man who warned people, says in Jude, talking to them because it was a terrible, terrible world, a wicked world. We think so often that our world is so not any worse than the world in which Enoch lived. And so when we talk about proclaiming truth, we're to warn of coming judgment, but we're to walk with courage. Here was a man that was fearless in a difficult, wicked world. It was so bad that only 8 people survived. God sent a flood, and only 8 people got in the ark. Noah and his wife, and his 3 sons and their wives, 8 people, as God brought judgment upon the world. Enoch was a man who confronted the ungodly by faith. And so often, as we go through this world, it's hard sometimes to share that we're a Christian. It's hard sometimes to share our faith or to stand up and we're paralyzed for fear. Someone made an acronym of fear. The word fear, F-E-A-R, really stands for false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. And so when we are gripped with fear, ladies and gentlemen, fear gives weight to things that don't deserve it. Fear weighs us down. Here was a man that was loyal to God and instead of trying to fit into his culture and please people, he was willing to stand alone because God was his everything. And lastly, when you proclaim God's truth, you also live with an eternal focus. Hebrews verse 5 in chapter 11, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He couldn't be found because God had taken him away because before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He was pleased God. Enoch walked with God, Genesis tells us. Then he was no more. Why? Because God took him away. God walked with Enoch. Enoch walked with God. God took him away to heaven. By faith he was taken away. He could not be found because God didn't let him die. And he's a picture of the type of believer alive here on earth when God comes back and removes his church and takes us to heaven, what the theologians call the rapture of the church. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord." It's a picture of what is called the rapture, the transfer of the church, the transportation of the church to heaven. It shows that ultimately God has control over death. We don't go until God is ready and our work is through. And God moves his believers to heaven to be with him forever and ever. Bow your heads with me this morning. As you sit here today, we were removed from all the busyness of our week, all the things going on. I ask you the question, do you want to please God? Do you want to please God? In your heart of hearts, do you want to please him? Well, do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that he rewards those who come to him on his terms? Are you searching for him? Have you committed your life to walk with him? Have you opened your mouth to speak for him? And are you living with an urgency and an anticipation of his return? God is pleased when people walk by faith. Pray this morning that as we go to the Lord in prayer, that you have a question or something that you need prayer for, remember the prayer team will be available after the service in the back. Please go to one of them for prayer. Father, we ask you now to help us be individuals who walk by faith. It's not a popular way in this world. It's not what even a lot of believers want to do. But you tell us very clearly that's what you expect and that's what you accept, walking by faith. Help us be more like Enoch, to walk in a way that pleases you, by faith, trusting you every step of the way. Help that individual today that's just struggling with that you might draw them to you. Help them walk by faith, based in Christ, based in you. In Jesus' name, amen.